So we're talking about marriage now. And marriage, actually, the picture of or the illustration, the ultimate point of marriage, of a man and wife coming together as one, is to reflect what? What is an earthly marriage intended to reflect? Exactly. The union, the marriage of Christ and His bride, Christ and the church. Very good. So, this earthly example, this earthly, we've coined the term institution, and I think I heard it said once that God didn't create an institution. When He created marriage, He created a relationship. And so this relationship that we get to have for those who decide to marry is intended to be a picture, a foreshadowing, an eye to what it means, what's going to happen when Christ marries His bride. That great wedding feast, that great day when Christ will be joined as the bridegroom to His bride, those of us who make up His body. So, Zachary, you can go ahead and advance quite a few slides there. Yep. So, we're on the first chapter. That's fine. We're on the first chapter of the marital book, and if you didn't, like I said before, the marital books are on the back chair. Sorry that I didn't have those for you last week, but they're here now. And if any of you know of those who don't, who aren't here, and you see them throughout the week, you could maybe grab one and take it to them. Of course, we'll be doing just as normal and continuing through. So next week will be lesson two, and you can study that and answer the questions for that. This first lesson sets the stage for the whole idea, the whole picture of marriage. There is a focus in this first one on the physical side of intimacy. And I know that I'm going to go ahead and bring that red out. But I know that Dan had come by the office earlier to pick up the books just to make sure that it wasn't going to be too... Well, I don't know what it was. He wanted to check it out in case he, maybe was going to get too red-faced while we were talking about the topic. Of course, then he shared with me some other news this morning about, going out to an hour before, right? You didn't know I was going to share this, but yeah. But now he's red. Oh, it's nothing. He said he's going to go out in the wind for about an hour and get real red-faced to come in to be able to reflect potential. But in our time together this morning for these few minutes as a larger group, we're not going to probably get into the nitty-gritty of the physical side of things. We'll save that for our group time. So my daughter, has been asking me all week, well, not all week, that's an exaggeration, but more than once at several points later, the latest of which was today, can we please do something else? You guys can talk about marriage by yourselves. So let's look at the key verse here, Genesis 2. Go ahead and click one more slide there, Zach. The key scripture here is from Genesis 2:24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And that's really what we're going to talk about, an overview and a snapshot of the whole series, is that we're going to talk about what it looks like for two to become one, what spiritual intimacy looks like, what psychological intimacy looks like, what physical intimacy looks like, and then we'll finish out with the fourth week being on how to restore intimacy when intimacy is broken down, when it's not functioning the way God intended. So we're going to start this off with you have seen throughout the spiritual book, lesson three, we had the three-part being with three circles kind of horizontally. And then you saw that again in the psychological area of life when we talked about how important it is to focus on the Lord and how our beliefs and behaviors come out of where we focus, whether we focus on the world or on God. We're going to take that three-part being and just put it up vertically, okay? And we're going to actually draw two of these. So, no, this isn't really intended to be a snowman, but it's a three-part being, reminding us that we are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And this is really the main point for us to get this morning, is that when two people choose to marry, a man and wife come together, we are to come together, we are to be intimate, we are to be united on all three levels, all three planes, all three areas. In our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. And certainly we don't need to, you know, have too much of a reminder that the world and unfortunately much of the Christian community considers really only one part prior to getting married or even after being married, and that's the physical side of things. All of the attention is focused on that. And that's generally where two people come together first, before there is intimacy in the spirit and in the soul. Okay? But the phrase becoming one in the key verse, the two are united into one or two becoming one, is about intimacy. It's about intimacy between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship. And, of course, there is the physical side of things. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, but because there is so much, even back then, even way back then, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband if one is going to be married. Okay? So the intimate couple experiences things like being close, being affectionate, being loving. Of course, you know, there is the physical side of things. But first we start off with the spiritual side. Okay, the spiritual side. And we're going to devote a whole lesson on this, but just to set the stage, there is to be spiritual intimacy. When the spirits are connected, the husband and wife have spiritual intimacy. Okay? The couple, when both in the couple believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, that he died for their sins, there is oneness. There's an intimacy. Romans 5:5 says, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So spiritual intimacy is centered in a devotion to God, okay, and love for the other person. It's centered in devotion. This love comes from the source of love, God himself. Sharing a mutual commitment is the most important part. So this is where the world spends all of its time down here on the physical side of things, on whether or not we're compatible physically, on these experiences in the body. Okay, but the most important part is the reverse of that. It's the spiritual side of things. Okay, this is the part. This devotion is to be toward God. Meaning, if these things are lacking, if the psychological intimacy is lacking, if the physical side is lacking, is there a bond? Is there something that's holding this together that stands regardless of what's happening on these two levels? Okay. Scripture says that when, well, we know, I mean, typically, generally, I don't know how each and every one of those who are married here were married, or how those who maybe are not married who look to be married. We weren't all at each other's events. Maybe there were some mutual things here, but generally, when one gets married, they make a vow, and that vow is made before God. And when I married Bambi, I made a vow to God. So my commitment is not so much to her as it is to God. I vowed before God, and these are some of the things that the Scripture says about vows. A man who makes a vow, this is from Numbers 30, verse 2, to the Lord, or makes a pledge under oath, must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. I made a vow to God. My oath was to God. Deuteronomy 23:23 says this, but once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to do as you have said, for you have made a vow to the Lord your God. God's love, this vow to God and to the other person through God, is able to exist without receiving anything in return. Okay, now here's a verse that's a very, very challenging to take in, okay? But it's very important. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says this, I will gladly spend myself and all I have for your spiritual good, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says, I will gladly spend myself and all that I have for your spiritual good, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. Now, if you're looking at that scripture right now and you're saying, Eric, that's not speaking to a man about his wife or a wife about her husband. That's not in the context of marriage. And I'm going to say, absolutely, you're right. Which makes it all the more critical, all the more instructive, that if this wasn't written to a man and wife, but was written to me for my brother, my Christian brother, my Christian sister, who is that most important person? Who is the most important relationship in my? If I'm married, it's my spouse. So if this is what is written to somebody, to just anybody, right? Just a Christian brother, Christian sister. Wow, that it makes it even heavier on me to be spending my life like this for my spouse. Okay. When we have this spirit connection, when we have this spiritual intimacy, then the other thing, you know, when things aren't going great, those of us who are married, and you know, have you ever experienced times that they just weren't so great? You just weren't feeling like this was at the moment your best friend. It was feeling like maybe it was the opposite of a friend. Okay, I'll put my hand out. Nobody else. Okay. when things weren't going so well on the, you know, by the way, when things aren't going so well here, they typically tend to not go very well here. Although some people, you know, try to trick themselves into thinking that the way to fix everything is to fix this. You know, you get mad and then you have make, no, anyway. Okay. So we have spirit to spirit, okay? Is there a spiritual intimacy? This is the most important part, that there would be spiritual intimacy. And it is, we have already said this, centered on devotion. But it is not centered solely on devotion to the other person. It's devotion to God. Because if it's only devoted to the other person, and the other person, by the way, starts to do things that I don't like, that devotion is going to taper off. But when the devotion is to one who never changes, then it won't taper. It's not going to win. My commitment is to the Lord. This is key. This is the most important part. We're going to spend a whole chapter on that. The second one is there intimacy, soul to soul? Okay, do we have psychological or soul intimacy? Are we experiencing oneness on the soul level? Okay. This is built, this intimacy is built through devotion. This intimacy is built through understanding. Now, what is the path to understanding? If you want me to understand you, what is the path? Communication. That is the only way. Now, of course, communication means that we're spending time together. So time is an element there. But we can spend all the time in the world together and not communicate, right? And therefore, we don't have this. And understanding, we're going to spend a whole chapter on this, okay? And understanding, by the way, is not synonymous to, I know this is going to burst your bubbles, no, I'm just teasing, agreement. Understanding is not synonymous with agreement, okay? If psychological intimacy were built on agreement, who would be still standing, right? who could survive, all right? So we're not talking about agreement, that I have to agree with everything with regard to my spouse, but it is that I understand what my spouse wants, what my spouse desires, what my spouse is thinking. Okay, it's understanding. We're going to spend a whole chapter looking at that. 1 Peter 3:7 and 8 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted, be courteous." Again, if these admonitions are for anyone, wouldn't they be all the more so for that person who is my spouse, who is the most important relationship, okay? And then lastly, we are looking at body to body, okay? We're looking at this thing called physical intimacy. And it is achieved through satisfaction. Okay. Satisfaction, and I'm going to go ahead and put another word here, even though it's not in our books. That I think, it's through being close, because though satisfaction is a great word, it's not always the case. Okay, but physical intimacy certainly is achieved by being close, by being together, by sharing. You know, of course, we're talking about sharing our bodies together. But so there are vehicles, obviously, that will achieve this physical intimacy. And that's really what the rest of this chapter is spent on, is talking about that physical side of things and how we are to function as married people on the physical side of things, okay? But the larger issue to kick off with, to start with, is did you know, or have you been reminded of the fact that intimacy with your spouse is on three levels? And the work that you have then is on all three of those levels, not just one, not two, but all three. It is your devotion to God increasing every day? Because if your devotion to God is increasing, then your intimacy with your spouse will increase. Are you working on understanding your spouse? Because then your psychological intimacy will increase. Are you working on and understanding what each other wants on the physical side of things? Okay, because all three work together. Okay. Now, I understand that not all of us are married, but this is still a picture of what marriage is to be as God intended. If you're married, if you're looking to be married, if you were married before, I do find that no matter where a person is in their life with regard to marriage, this is very instructive in reminding me of what this is supposed to be like. And that will then help me walk through life no matter what stage I'm in. Okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for creating this relationship between a man and a wife to give us a picture of your union that will be your son bringing together his bride to himself. Thank you that we can be in a relationship like this that has such a reflection, such a picture. And may those of us who are find ourselves unmarried and content with that, may we remain content, Father. Thank you that you have given that to us, the ability to be single and to be content. And Father, if you we find ourselves married, may we be reminded of how to be married. Father, if there have been broken relationships, broken marriages here, we look to you for restoration, whatever that looks like, whatever that is that you're showing us to do. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you that that there is a truth and that it is found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.